You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the show, LA Talk Radio. I love being able to talk to you here about stuff that's really important. You know, it's Christmas time, pretty quick, and another 8 days. What is today? Tuesday. So 8 days from today is the very day. And maybe you celebrate that particular holiday and maybe you don't. I do. I'm Christian. I'm a disciple and friend of Christ. But I recognize that other people have their own sets of beliefs, and that's powerful and important. The question that I always have is, do you live fully and completely into the things that you believe, whatever they are? Do you express them? Do you own them? Do you live into those things? Are you the very best you can be at whatever? If you're an atheist, great. Are you the very, very best one on the planet? Have you identified the things that you do believe as opposed to those you don't and are against? And do you lean into those? Because remember, this show is about creating your ultimate life. A life that I define as a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. A purpose means pretty clear. I have a reason I get up every day. It's a burning passion. It's not an incidental, marginal thing that I think about once in a while. I bleed it every day. And that purpose this year, my year started October 14th, 2 months ago, is to reach 300 million people with three things. A message that you, each of you, are divine, capable, and you can create and have anything you want. You're a creator by design. Most of us spend our time creating little tiny things in mud puddles in the yard, essentially, compared to what we could create. Our horizon is limitless, yet I used to, maybe you're better than that, maybe, or further along than that. Till I was 52, I was busy making mud puddles in my backyard in terms of the possibility of creating my life. In the last 17 and a half years now, I have expanded that horizon. And so today I live that ultimate life I talk about. So 300 million people, one is with the message, the absolute universal infinite truth that you can create whatever you want. You can argue with it, and all that does is get in the way of doing it. So you can create what you want. That's part one. Part two is, in order to do it, you have to have the frameworks, the tools, the understanding about how to manipulate the levers of creation. Part of it is our attitude. Part of it is what we believe. Part of it is our language. We literally speak our world into existence. Oh, my life sucked. Oh, those stupid people. When we bring that energy, that's what we create, literally. And I didn't used to understand that. And the more I realize it and look into it, the more bulletproof that truth is. So first is the message. Second is the frameworks, tools, and things to activate your capability. And the third thing is the encouragement, examples, coaching, energy, and permission in some cases for people, you, to end addiction to mediocrity and to be your most powerful, authentic self. So I'm going to reach 300 million people with those things. That is my ultimate life, and I'm committed to it every day. I first breath to last every day. And sometimes when I wake up at night, the words of creation are on my lips and everything. You might think I'm crazy. Maybe I am. I use this background today, this beautiful picture of this dude. It looks like a dude meditating, or appears to be meditating, in a robe in this beautiful valley. And there's some, you know, buildings over there. They're beautiful, and it has this idyllic setting. And, you know, when you look at something like that and you think how peaceful and how beautiful, we can realize very quickly how seriously and ridiculously we get obsessed with some of the things that are going on around us, how unimportant they are in the overall scheme of things. You can choose to be happy right now, right this minute. You don't have to have a certain amount of money or this or that to be happy. You don't even have to be, quote, healthy. Well, I'll be happy when I'm healthy, when my whatever it is stops hurting. Nonsense. You can be happy right now. You can fall in love with the process of growth. And I know, I don't know, maybe it doesn't sound difficult to you. Some people, when I talk to them about that, they hate it. I hate this feeling. I hate this struggle. I hate. Why would you bring the energy of hate, resistance, and negativity into any of your creations? Why wouldn't I or you, why wouldn't we only bring the energy of love, creativity, service? You know, why wouldn't we create everything we do literally minute to minute in our lives from that place? Like, you know, you've seen some shows, right? Television shows, news shows, some podcasts. They get on there and the focus is to bitch and complain, to point out the faults of, to accuse people of, and bring this huge dose of negative energy into the airwaves, into the ears of listeners. I don't want any part of that. I'm not Pollyanna. I'm not stupid. I understand and can see dishonesty, lying, sandbagging, gaslighting, all the things that are literally going on. And I choose not to allow that to affect me. I make careful and considered judgments based on everything that I can see and understand to be true, but I refuse to carry any negative energy. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but let me tell you what I observe. Because I don't, I'm happy all the time. I am happy all the time. Giddy, joyful, dancing all the time. And that's how I actually feel. It's not a game, not a jacket I wear. So that's what your ultimate life's about. And if you're living that life, man, congratulations. I would ask you to reach out because I love hearing the stories of how people get to living that way. Because you don't fall up that mountain. You do not fall up that mountain. That's work. That's choice. That's exercising the control you have over your life, exercising your right to choose and all that kind of stuff. So I love hearing from people. So if that's you, let's talk. The other invitation is I'm inviting you, if you think I'm full of crap and you can't live a life of joy, then let's talk so I can help you see how you can and then help you get it done. Now, today, that's just sort of the introduction. Today, I'm going to talk about one specific thing that almost more than anything gets in the way, a boulder in the path, a giant rock in your backpack as you're climbing up that mountain. Whoops, that one right there behind me, right? As you're climbing up that mountain, if you're carrying 100 pounds of extra rocks, it makes the journey so much harder. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a thing that every single person, every person is infected with until you disinfect yourself and get rid of this rock, this drag on your energy. I'm going to talk today about forgiveness, okay? And the minute I say forgiveness, ooh, people's hackles go up. Sometimes people nod and say, yeah, that's really important. But, and then they fill their own mind and sometimes my ears with all the reasons that it's impractical, impossible, unrighteous, not okay, not needed, not important, and all the rest. Nonsense on all that. Here's the instruction. Learn to forgive everyone, everything, all the time, including yourself. One of my statements in my holy document, my PTAC, personal truth and commitment, my credo, my constitution with God, says I am forgiveness. I am forgiveness with compassion, grace, and patience for everyone, for everything, including myself. Now, that's a bold statement, and when I first started thinking about this years ago, that seemed utterly and absolutely and viciously not only impossible but unjust. Because I was absolutely certain that I deserved a bunch of punishment for crap that I had done, and that other people deserved to have their heads ripped off and, you know, all kinds of awful things done to them for stuff they had done. And I'm wrong on both counts. So let's talk about what forgiveness is and what it isn't. First of all, forgiveness really simply is a choice to no longer allow events of the past to have power in the present. I'm not pretending away for 1 minute any event that happened to you in the past. I'm not pretending that some struggle didn't happen. I'm not pretending that someone didn't do something to you. Maybe you suffered abuse or terrible illness or bankruptcies or betrayal or on and on. I'm not pretending any of that away. But it is going to be your choice to what extent you allow that past event to continue to have power in the present. Does it continue to make you mad? Does it continue to make you afraid? Does it continue to make you distrustful? Does it fill you with hate or resentment or bitterness? Those are all signs that I am letting some event in the past have power in the present. Does it fill you with shame or guilt or agonizing sorrow? You know, it's interesting, on my YouTube channel, the video that has the most views, many hundred thousand, some hundred thousand views, is the video titled How to Forgive Yourself When You've Hurt Someone You Love. So I know, and I looked up just yesterday, highly searched topics on YouTube, and that's still a high traffic search. How to forgive yourself when you screw up? How do you forgive yourself when you hurt someone? Well, first of all, it's important, before you can even answer how, to define what it is. So let's start with a simple definition. Forgiveness is a choice to no longer allow events from the past to have power in the present. Now, forgiveness may be someone that did something to you, even something awful, or something that you did or didn't do to someone else. There's all various grades of all that, but that's really it. You either have anger, frustration, or negative feelings towards somebody else that dissed you, hurt you, did negative stuff to you, and you may have both anger, self-loathing, remorse, guilt, shame for something you did or didn't do that hurt somebody else. Both of those need absolute and complete forgiveness. Before you freak out, let's talk about what it means and how to do that. Forgiveness is not pretending something didn't happen. Forgiveness is not putting yourself in danger. Forgiveness is not absolving others of accountability. I don't have the calling, the responsibility to extract justice on anybody. It's not my responsibility, not legally in our society, and not even spiritually or morally. That belongs to a higher power. I don't have the wisdom or the ability to extract or implement or instill or inflict such justice. And you know what? I've realized finally that I am super grateful that it's not my responsibility. When some bad thing happens to a person, you see it on the news all the time, the victim, the person who was hurt or aggrieved, you know, they want justice. And, you know, in their mind, justice is, you know, $1 trillion, tarred and feathered, jail forever. And that's an emotional response to the level of pain or suffering that they have received. And justice is not in our hands. Here's an interesting fact. You've seen a movie or read a book where some terrible thing happened to someone, and that person who was hurt pursues, sometimes relentlessly for days, weeks, months, years, or even decades, pursues that person physically, financially, some way, pursues them with revenge or justice in their hearts. And you've seen the movie where they finally catch him and they get in a fight. And the person kills the offender. And there they are, dead on the ground. As a result of that final thing. And then they turn around and say, I thought when I finally got it, I'd feel better, and I don't. I've seen that a thousand times. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there's a simple reason. Punishing them has nothing to do with getting rid of your hurt. Hear that. Punishing someone else has nothing to do with getting rid of your hurt. It's a separate thing. Justice is separate than forgiveness. Justice is separate than healing. Okay, if you've been hurt, you need to heal. Inflicting justice has nothing to do with that. And you know that because even when people get the kind of justice, quote unquote, I just talked about, it doesn't do anything. So let's separate, you know, justice, some consequence, from healing and forgiveness. Forgiveness is separate, and it's simply a choice. I choose to eliminate the power of that event. It no longer has power over me. I struggled with bankruptcy many years ago, 30 years ago. I felt all kinds of guilt and shame about that until I chose not to. Okay, I struggled with depression for decades, and I've been really open about that, written some books. I had addictions. I was abused as a child. Physical punishment that today would be felony child abuse. If I blame my behaviors because of depression and failed relationships and addictions, if I blame it on somebody else, it'll never get okay. I have to take responsibility for everything that I did. And part of that for me was simply choosing to forgive. I choose to forgive completely. And you know what it does when I do that? I become light, happy, and joyful. The rocks are out of my backpack. Now, that doesn't absolve anyone of accountability. If there's some justice to mete out for something people did to me, that will be done, and that's not mine to do. And I don't need to wait for that to get the joy and light feeling of forgiveness. And what a joyful thing, because forgiveness I can do right now. So in my own choice, I've forgiven every single person, everything all the time. I carry no grudges and no negative feeling. And that wasn't something I got to automatically, click your fingers. It was a long and difficult process. I had to decide that's where I was going, figure out how to do it, how to remove the emotional burdens, and to get over the idea that they ought to be punished in some terrible way for whatever it is that I did. They did. That journey was so profound that I wrote a book about that. That's why I've written 20 books. It's called Forgiveness, A Journey of Courage to a Place of Freedom and Power. It involves releasing the idea that I own justice. It involves releasing the idea that I even know what justice is. Because I never, neither do you, know all the mitigating circumstances. I don't know what real justice is. I don't know what things have gone on in somebody else's life, why they did or didn't do whatever. I don't. So I have released that, and with that, released all the burden. I have no negative feelings. Instead, I choose love. I choose love when I put any justice that needs to be handled in someone else's hands. Now, one of the things that happens in many religions, certainly in Christianity, is the idea of forgiveness. And we talk about, you know, Christ or God forgiving sins. If there is such a thing, and there is such a thing as forgiveness, getting rid of the effects, it is also true that there has to be restitution, right? If I've hurt somebody and I can't make it right, then absolving me of responsibility isn't complete unless there is a way also for them to be made whole. Now, here's the interesting thing. If I steal something, I can give the money back or the thing back. And that, quote, fixes the theft, but it doesn't fix the trust, and it doesn't change the character in my heart that I was a thief. Those are two separate things. I have to change who I am and no longer be a person who would steal. And whoever I stole from needs to make a choice, an energetic choice in their own life, that they are going to be a person who forgives. Those are all separate things. I don't wait until somebody else says, okay, I forgive you, until I'm done feeling. I do what I can. If we're still with others making mistakes, they may or may not apologize. They may or may not feel they did anything wrong. They may still feel like I deserved it or that it wasn't that big of a deal. They may minimize, they may make excuses. That doesn't change anything. Hear me, it doesn't. I'm free right now to forgive completely. Empty my heart of that and fill it with love and hope and even pray, since that's part of my life, hope and pray that they come to peace with themselves and do whatever it is they need to do to get clear and get right with themselves and with their own relationship with the divine, whatever that might look like. And when I have learned to release that, gets all the rocks out of my backpack, resentment, guilt, anger, gone. Do you know how light it is to go through days, weeks, months, years with no resentment, guilt, or anger? No more anger, no more bitterness, no more justice, no more they'll get their comeuppance. None of that crap. None of my thoughts. None, it takes up no space, rents no space in my head. So if you're having any trouble with that, or you feel like, darn, it would be good to have complete and absolute forgiveness of others who have hurt me so that it no longer bothers me, then get the book, Forgiveness. Read it. Get a hold of me. Let's talk. Because that is something that has come in my life. And I can tell you it's the most joyful condition I can imagine. So that's part one. Others that have hurt me. And there's one addendum to that. If someone hurts you, including physical, maybe someone abused you or physically or sexually or some other way, and it could leave scars, might leave you with a limp. I tell the story of my dog. I had a first time I'd ever had a dog. I was 52, and it was right around the time my life changed. I got a very young puppy. He was like 2 months old. And it was New Year's Eve 2007 going into 2008. And I was playing around with the puppy, and I got a little too rambunctious. And the puppy bumped a speaker stand that had a speaker in the living room. And the speaker fell off and fell on the puppy's paw, front paw. And puppy was howling, and I felt horrible and blamed myself and whatever. And it was New Year's Eve, but we needed to find a doctor. So we drove around near midnight on New Year's Eve. Yep. Trying to find an emergency vet clinic that was open. And we did. Took him in, and they came out and said, yeah, broke all the metatarsals in his foot. And they did what they could, did some surgery and put a cast on, et cetera, et cetera. And they told us, he's probably going to have a limp later, maybe when it gets cold and maybe all the time. And sure enough, as the dog got older, he developed a limp. The reason I tell that story is because my carelessness caused that dog to suffer pain then and have a limp the rest of his life. Now, I could and did carry guilt and shame, felt horrible because I felt like it was my fault for many years. But the dog wasn't having any of it. The dog lived his life fully to the fullest. And when he limped, but he wasn't going to let that get in the way. So what I'm saying about forgiving others everything is true, even if they have hurt you and you have a limp, emotional limp, physical limp, spiritual limp. You can choose to forgive and live like the dog did. He wasn't having any of it. And eventually, just looking at the dog's example, I realized I needed to forgive myself and let it go. Completely let it go. I did. And the release was amazing. So forgiving others everything all the time is part one of this conversation. Part two of the conversation is the hardest, at least it was for me. And that is forgiving yourself for mistakes you made, even unkind and cruel and stupid and selfish things you've done. Forgiving yourself those. Now, again, let's go back to what forgiveness isn't. It isn't pretending you didn't do whatever you did or failed wherever you failed. It isn't sweeping it under the carpet. It isn't pretending it away. It isn't putting anyone in danger. That goes with, people hurting you too. You don't put yourself in danger, but you don't carry negative stuff around. All right. So I made a lot of mistakes. I struggled, I told you my upbringing was violent, and I had a lot of stuff that left me completely doubting my own self-worth, and I struggled with major depressive disorder for decades. And it took a violent and vicious toll on my life. I ruined 3 relationships. I, built careers and lost them, lost jobs and even entire careers and all kinds of stuff. And then built another one. And I rode this roller coaster of self-sabotage for decades. And all that time, I blamed myself viciously with self-loathing for everything I had either done or failed to do. Including, addictions, and the whole list is long and messy. And if you're interested in the details, it's in a book called Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. Not that it's fun to read sad things, but then it talks about the change and how I finally realized that I could have control. Now, for me, that didn't happen until I was 52. So decades it took me to figure out I could do what I'm describing to you now. And even after I started, I couldn't forgive myself. I have 10 children. I'd ruined my kids' lives because I'd been an addict and failed relationships and I was responsible for everything and it's all my fault. And some of my kids really enjoyed heaping that hate and blame on me. You ruined my life, you know, just pounding on me for that. And I just accepted it all and just felt, and it drove me to a couple of suicide attempts, actually, and a lot of substance abuse and everything. Finally, in 2007, when everything changed and I began to realize that it was never going to get any better unless I took control and did something. So if you're going to forgive yourself, here are the steps. Step one is you have to make a decision that you're going to. Not, I'm going to try, I don't know. That's nonsense. You're going to forgive yourself. And here's why it matters. As long as you carry either hate toward or resentment toward others, and especially self-loathing, shame, guilt, you know, all that inside of you, all that you're doing is grossly limiting your ability to enjoy life, to serve, to bless, to magnify your gifts and talents. You're simply turning that fire off. If you're filled with resentment and negativity on half the days, your ability to add good to the world is reduced. And it's exponential. It's reduced twice as much, you know, as the anger or shame you're carrying. So here's the thing to think about. You owe it to everyone around you to forgive yourself. Why? Because then you can be your authentic self. Then you can be the best version of yourself. You cannot be the best version of yourself if you're beating the crap out of yourself all the time. I'm not good. I'm nowhere. I'm nobody. If I hadn't done this, if only this, that, and the other. Garbage. Gobbledygook and nonsense. Gobbledygook, is that even a word? I guess so. It's just nonsense. All you're doing is shutting down your light, shutting down your connection with the divine, diminishing your ability to be authentic, living in fear, resentment, anger, negativity, shame, guilt. None of that is creative. None of that comes from love. None of that comes from, you know, exalted places where your enlightenment, none of it comes from that. So number one, you're going to forgive yourself. I'm going to do that. No matter what it takes, I don't know how. Second, exploring the things that you did or didn't do to understand what the consequences were. Third, until you have as best understanding you can, you're never going to go understand completely. Maybe that means conversations with people that hurt. Maybe they won't talk to you. You have to decide what it means, but come to some understanding. Don't minimize. Don't pretend stuff away. Acknowledge fully and freely you screwed up, whether it was an accident or an act of selfishness and cruelty. It doesn't matter. The key is you have to decide you're no longer going to be that person. There's a story in one of Shakespeare's plays called As You Like It. I think that's the right one, about two brothers, an older and a younger brother. And the younger brother did really good, and the older brother hated him for it. And it even got so bad that the older brother kept trying to kill his younger brother. And one day, the older brother got in trouble, like serious physical trouble, and his younger brother came and rescued him. And the older brother said, "Why are you saving me? I've been trying to kill you." Right? And so that touched the older brother so much that he changed completely who he was. And he, you know, if you're talking religion, he repented or changed his ways. He changed his heart. And was changed from that time forward. And a couple of women somewhere else later in the play said, now, wait a minute, aren't you the guy that was trying to kill your brother and didn't? And he just looked at him and said, "'Twas I, 'tis not I." Change is real. So forgiveness is based, especially self-forgiveness, is based on the idea of change, especially if you've done something selfish or unkind or cruel. You know, mistakes are mistakes. Changes, I'll be more careful. I'll pay more attention. That was really, you know, oversight. That's completely different. But the ones that haunt the crap out of you are ones where you knew you shouldn't. You were being selfish, thinking of yourself first. Maybe you were angry and being unkind. Maybe you were being neglectful. You know, when I was had drug problems, I was certainly neglectful of responsibilities I had. And that hurt a lot of people. So here's the key. The truth is there's nothing you or I can do to fully fix what we broke. Hear that. You can't do it. You cannot fully fix what you broke. If you've betrayed someone's trust, if you've hurt them emotionally, if you cheated on them, if you stole from them, if you trashed them and wrecked their character, you know, if you robbed someone either actually or emotionally, you can't fix that. Okay? I don't have the power to paint some salve on there and have it be like it was. Here's what you can do. You make an apology as sincere and honest as you can. You ask and do whatever you can to make amends, fixing stuff as much as you can, knowing that you can't really fix stuff. Okay, that's one of the most difficult things. And because we can't fix it, we substitute someone else's approval for fixing it. In other words, we apologize to somebody and we do what we can. I'm really sorry. I'll never do that again, et cetera, et cetera. And then we say, well, I can't forgive myself because they haven't said it's okay. They haven't, quote, forgiven you or me. That has nothing to do with it. Another person being able to forgive you for mistakes you made is not a prerequisite to forgiving yourself. Each of us is on our own spiritual journey. Maybe where they are right now is they're loving holding anger, bitterness, and resentment. Maybe they've identified with that and they're owning that as part of their life force and energy, and they love being in love with hating you or me or somebody. That is not yours or mine to fix. You or I, we apologize sincerely. We make sincere and honest efforts to fix what we can. And then most importantly, we change who we are. I can't change who they are. If I've hurt you and you'll never forgive me, I can't make you do that. I can't change who you are. If you get joy and satisfaction and are married to the idea that you hate and you've been damaged forever because of whatever I did, I can't change that. Nothing in the universe that I do can ever change that. You have to change that. You have to decide for you, forgiveness is appropriate, and you're no longer going to let events of the past have power in your present moment. So recognize that you screwed up. Understand that the level of mistake that you made. Apologize, make the amends you can, and then change who you are so that you would never be that person. 'Twas I, 'tis not I. When you have done that, forgive yourself completely, absolutely, independent of whether someone else accepts your apology, says they forgive you, says they understand, or any of that crap. That is not yours to either ask or expect. That is their journey and only their journey. So if you or I change who we are being, then we can release the guilt and the shame and the self-loathing for the mistakes we've made. And why is that important? Again, you can't be a beacon of light, a vessel of love, a conduit of power. Neither can I if I'm full of negativity and, you know, self-loathing. I can't be anything. I can't serve from an empty cup. Now, the reason I'm so emphatic about all this is this was so operative in my life. I had made so many mistakes, out of the worst ones, out of selfishness and not caring about others and being unkind or at least inconsiderate to a gross degree. And so I hated myself desperately for that. And for forever, I couldn't forgive myself, and I couldn't even imagine how to do that until I realized all that was doing is preventing me from living a life now. That meant my life today was full of sadness and loathing all the time. What good am I to anyone? The people that are around me now, the people that I serve as clients, people that listen to my podcasts or read the books that I write, coaching clients that I have, what good for them can I be if I live continually in this guilt and shame? And the answer is zero. So if you find yourself either craving justice and angry at others, I hate them, I hate talking to them, this, that, and the other, forgiveness. Forgive them for whatever they've done or are doing, because you can. Choose to let them be where they are and simply be a basket, a beacon of love. When you're talking about yourself, and for me, this was by far the hardest, make the amends that you can. Change who you're being so you are no longer the person that would ever do, think, say those things again. And then, as that changed person, go forward and bless the world as much as you can. You owe it to people to forgive yourself. You owe it to me. I want to see you in your power and glory. I want to see you with all the good you can add to the world. I want to see you in your authentic self, struggling up the mountain of self-growth. And I want people to see me there too. The mountain of growth is, you know, a mountain without a top, so we're never done. But carrying baggage just weighs you down and makes you useless or much less useful, because you're carrying a half-lit candle. You're carrying flashlight with nearly dead batteries. We, if I do that or you, we're of no use to anyone. Forgiveness frees you to be your authentic self, because if you've changed who you were a person that did or didn't do whatever, and now you've changed, you cannot be your authentic self if you're still carrying around the baggage. So we talk a lot in our current world about authenticity and transparency and stuff. You know what? If you haven't changed, then of course you can't be transparent, because you're worried about all the skeletons somebody would find or know about. Ooh, I did this or this. Hey, change who you're being. If you're afraid of people knowing, change who you are. And this is an invitation and an exhortation, which is encouragement, from hard and bitter experience. Pretending we are something we're not is sad. It makes us untrustworthy. It's kind of like what's going on in the U.S. right now. We live in Canada, but we pay attention to U.S. politics. It seems like there were a lot of lies being told in the last administration, you know, people's capability and a bunch of other things. And so the level of distrust of government is off the charts, it seems like, looking from outside. You, me, we can't be open and transparent if we've got a lot of stuff to hide. So unhide, make amends, fess up, clean it up, change who you're being, and then you're free. You're free. And I can tell you that from experience, the freedom that I experience now is, I can't even describe it. But before we can have that freedom, we have to face the facts. The harm we did, whether we caused it or suffered it, we take whatever responsibility there is, we do what we can, and then we let it go. All the way down deep, not a little, not, well, I'm trying. Garbage. You're a divine being. You were put here to have joy and to be of love and service to others. That's why we're here. And the more of that we do, the better we feel and the happier we are. We were not put here to endlessly self-flagellate over things that we did. Now, sometimes people do things and they end up, you know, going to jail and serving some time. And then it's done. That, you know, that term is over. When you make the amends that you can and you change who you are, that's all you can do. So let's talk about some of the benefits of doing what I've just described, of exercising complete forgiveness for everyone, for everything, forgiving others, forgiving yourself, cleaning out the closet. Truth is the foundation for transformation. If you are a person who carries grudges or self-loathing right now, you need a transformation. The truth that I've given you right now is that you're useless in terms of being a light to the world as long as you're carrying revenge, anger, or self-loathing. So go on the path to get rid of it. That's one of the things I specialize in. And the reason is because I struggled so much with both sides of that coin. Both sides of that coin were a bitter battle for me. Forgiving others for what they had inflicted on me. And the hardest part was forgiving myself for pain I'd inflicted on others. But I have reached it. And why I love doing that is the freedom that becomes evident in your life or someone's life as we work to help you realize that you can be free, you can let that go, is amazing. The lightness, the power, the joy, the dedication, the devotion, the commitment, just go off the charts. So I'd invite you to experiment with that. And the book Forgiveness is, you know, my effort to describe the tools and processes I used. And if you'd like to talk about that or you'd like my help, I'm happy to do that. What I know for sure is the goal, getting to where you forgive everyone, everything, all the time, means that you're light and you carry nothing. And your ability to love and serve others is off the charts. Another thing that we have to remember is that old saying that holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's silly, and we know that, but it's also true. Now, another thing that embracing forgiveness for yourself and others does is it makes you a light. People who know me now, the light that I carry, it's completely different. And people talk about that. They notice it and they see it. And it's not because I do or say something. It radiates. It's just who I'm being all the time. And I'm only able to be that because of forgiveness of self and others. So forgiving allows you, me, to be a light, be a fire for those who weep. It allows us to live in joy and to be of service. It also shows others what's possible. It lets people see, hey, it is possible to get past that. When I read the comments on that video that I have that has those hundreds of thousands of views, probably half of them are, oh, I cheated on my girlfriend, boyfriend. I could never forgive. Okay, I know it feels like that. And if you live like that, you'll never have a happy relationship. You'll never be a different person. You have to fix what you can, change who you are, and let it go. Fix what you can, change who you are, and let it go. A third time, fix what you can, and that includes apology. Change who you are so you're no longer the person who would do such a thing. And then be of service and love. That's the key. It is the divinely oriented path, ordained path for us to walk on because we're built to love and serve each other. So let's talk a little bit about what has to happen. Now, I can't give you everything in the book in a short time. And again, I recommend you get the book Forgiveness, Journey of Courage to a Place of Freedom and Power. Number one, never pretend away anything, whether someone did something to you or you did it to them. Don't minimize it. It's not that big. Don't do any of that. Acknowledge what is. Acknowledge the depth of pain for yourself or others, and then make a conscious choice. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let the bitterness go, the anger, the guilt, or the shame. The engine to allow that release is compassion and love. See, one of the things that we do is when someone hurts us, you know, we're thumping that they demand, you know, demanding justice and they should be punished in some severe way. But when we look at ourselves, then we want to make mitigation and excuse. Well, don't even think about it. I'm sharing with you my opinion. Just forgive everybody, everything. Assume, you know, I read somewhere that if you had the exact same experiences as some other person, and you were in their situation, you'd do exactly what they did. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, because we actually come into this life differently. We obviously come in with different, you know, sets of experiences from wherever we were before. So I don't know if that's true, but it's a good way to think about it. Because you or I, we have no clue what's going on in somebody else's life, their motivations, their feelings, the circumstances. And so carrying that anger and bitterness serves no one. It serves no one, and I'm not making an invitation to be a doormat or any of that, so don't hear any of that in this conversation. So recognize what you've done or had done to you in its full weight, and then release it. I release the bitterness. I release the shame, the guilt, the anger. I'm just choosing to let it go because I won't carry those rocks. And that doesn't mean go put yourself in danger. Some people, hey, I'm not talking about that. So don't make it into that. Forgiveness is a journey. If you say, I'm going to do this, remember, it's a journey. The name of the book was Forgiveness, a journey of courage to a place of freedom and power. It's like climbing that mountain back there, right? It is a hike. And it looks like a pretty steep mountain. But in the end, forgiveness is choosing love over fear. It really is. Love and fear can't exist in the same place. It's choosing compassion over anger. And it unleashes your own divine light. I can tell you that my journey through the both valleys of forgiveness, forgiving others and forgiving myself, have made me more patient, more loving, more kinder, by 1,000 times. Completely different person. So then I can say, 'twas I, 'tis not I. And I can tell you, the glorious, light, joyful feeling that has come and permanently, day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute in my life because of that. Now, as a final thing, I want to issue an invitation to you. I want to reiterate the invitation to come get a hold of me. Let's connect. Let's talk. I want to hear your stories. Maybe you want to be a guest here on the show. I love having guests that have stories to tell about their own life. But here's the invitation. I want you to think right now, who do you have the ability to forgive? Write a name down. Write all the reasons forgiveness is hard, why you think it can't happen, why you think they don't deserve it, and then let it go. Or why you think you don't deserve it. I always come back to that one because forgiving myself was 10 times harder than forgiving everybody else. And maybe it is for everybody. It seems like it. Because of when you talk about forgiving yourself, that triggers people, a lot of people. The truth is you're a vessel of divine power. The truth is you and I were sent here knowing that we'd screw up all over the place, including some of them that we did on purpose, selfishly, or being cruel. That was known ahead of time. We are wildly imperfect beings. We are also wildly glorious, loving beings. We have the ability to love, to lift, and bless each other. And that is our obligation and opportunity. Like obligation, nobody's going to make you. Nobody can do your push-ups. Nobody's going to make you or me be kind or forgiving. But I can tell you, choosing that is the most liberating, loving, enjoyable, energizing place to live. And believe me, I've lived all over the map in all of these things. So I invite you with all my heart to love yourself enough to forgive yourself. Choose to love others enough to forgive them. You don't have to justify their actions. Just choose to love them. They've got to walk their own path of enlightenment, of changing, of consequences, if there are some, for whatever they've done. And so do you. So do you. So do I. Those things are not in our hands. What is in our hands is to forgive everyone, everything, all the time. You carry no weight. You carry no burden. You release justice, whatever that might be in real life, to God and or the legal system, if it involves that in this case. Choose forgiveness. Choose that. Choose freedom. It's freedom like you can't imagine unless you've done it. Choose to be the light, the joy, the beacon of light that others can enjoy and might need. So I share all this with you because it's been my journey. And forgiveness is one of the most fundamental pieces of creating the life that you love, with no baggage, no pain, no residual anger, no guilt. And it is a huge piece of making the choices you need to make, getting the power you need, and taking the steps to create love, joy, purpose, prosperity, and joy, to live and enjoy your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.